This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you, T-Tote. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, football season has officially begun. Week one in the books, and what a fun night of football it was across the state. There was a lot of exciting games, and I know that just the energy in every stadium last night was off the charts.
Yeah, good. That's the way you want it to be.
Absolutely. We had a couple of good games on the radio. Greenville took down Litchfield last night, 39-25. That was after Litchfield had a 25-20 lead midway through the third quarter at Greenville before the Comets came away with 19 unanswered to pull out the win. And then Hillsboro defeated Southwestern last night, 29-22, in another back-and-forth affair. So the first two broadcast features that we had on the Tally Broadcasting Stations turned out to be dynamite games.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully a good omen for the rest of the regular season. So,
not about it. Now, the biggest game of the night in the South Central Conference was Carthenville-Roxana, and it was kind of billed, you know, when it's a week one matchup, you have all offseason to kind of hype it up, anticipate it. So, I mean, this game really had a lot built up into it, and Carthenville made a statement last night. They go into Roxana, pick up a 48-24 victory over the Shells. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, off to another 1-0 start. And I don't know how you guys framed it as a coaching staff, but I'll say it just like I said it. That's a statement win for Carthenville in week one.
Yeah. It was exciting. I tell you what. You know, I give Roxana a ton of credit. I think that's one of the most physical week ones that I've played in my coaching career. I thought both teams were ready to play, and we came out and jumped on them early and, you know, got things rolling. And when it started rolling our way, it just took it that way. And we had a little lull there in the second quarter and bounced back from that.
And it always seems that there's going to be a lull at some point in the game because there's never been a perfect game played. So I guess the response after the lull is something you really liked.
Yeah, especially for some young kids playing in some key spots. We knew they were athletic. We knew that we had some speed on both sides of the ball. They hadn't been tested yet. We use that phrase all the time, battle tested. But being out there and surviving your first, what I call a good screw up, and being able to bounce back from it kind of defines you as a player. And we kind of preach that in the program a little bit. And I thought the kids did real well with that part of the game.
Coach, talk a little bit about your starting quarterback and how he played in his first varsity start with the Cavies.
Adam Walton did a phenomenal job last night, and everyone was shocked and all that, and I was just happy because I was expecting that from the get-go. I mean, here's a kid that's worked his butt off, and he has done his time, and he's been quote unquote mentored in the program and through our system, and I think he was. I knew he was ready. He knew he was ready. He just had to show up last night and let everybody else know that he was ready. So he did a really, really good job last night.
And, Chad, that has to be satisfying from a coaching perspective when you see a young kid able to take something from the practice field and translate it to Friday night.
Yeah, we're fortunate at Carthenville. We've had some, people or some positions where sometimes it's that guy in front of you is just a little bit better, and he may start on another team or something like that. I'm sure Adam could have started on a couple teams in the league or around the area as a sophomore, and he didn't get that opportunity. Had a great JV season last year and, just got off to a great start.
Talk about the defense. A little different than the first half against Roxana last year when it was 40-all.
Yeah, I thought the kids, we changed schemes a little bit, went to a different surface and that sort of stuff. So, I thought they did a good job of keeping them contained.
Well, as you look ahead to week two, what do you see?
I don't know. We haven't watched much film on them yet. We got a freshman home game and home JFL today. So we got the film traded this morning. For us personally, I think it's called growing. I think we have some maturity to do still. And we're real happy, obviously, to get that first win. But, I think we got some things to work on. Tackling, of course, is always an issue week one and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Vandalia had a rough game with Gillespie. I haven't watched a ton of it. I know they lost. But, they were predicted to be maybe a sleeper or something in the conference. So, I don't know. I haven't watched much film yet.
That's the thing about being a head football coach. It's not just the varsity team. You got an entire program to take after here.
I tell you what, I love it. The minute I quit loving it, I'll quit doing it all. But that's probably not going to be for a while. So, you know, we got excuse me, we got Auburn at home on the main field, and then behind we got Hillsborough JFL all day, and of course they decided to sprinkle the rain on us while we set it all up. So what a great day for football!
Hey, you can't beat it, Chad. We always appreciate your times on Saturday morning. Congratulations on the win last night, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and that's an impressive victory last night. Roxana getting a lot of attention in the early season, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. coming off the year they had last season. And for Carlinville to go in there and win like they did, that is very impressive.
No, that's right, and I believe Roxana was returning six starters on both sides of the ball, but the question mark going in was they basically had to replace their entire line, and that probably may have made the difference in the game, and Carlinville probably took advantage of it and ended up winning by a couple of possessions.
They did. Other South Central scores last night. Gillespie off to a good start, coming off of a winless campaign. The losing streak is over. They defeat Vandalia 28-6 in Don DeBrino's first game back on the sidelines. Last night, the Miners pick up a win 28-6. In Pena, they blank Staunton 50-0. And our broadcast feature that was heard here on WSMI FM 106, Hillsborough took care of Southwestern 29-22. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. Duffy, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on a week one victory.
Thanks. It's, you know, week one. It's nice to get a win. We made it interesting, but we got it done.
And it's one of those ball games. You got off to a fast start and then ended up having to fight for it at the end.
Yes. You know, we came out, looked pretty good, did some good things. You know, at halftime, we were up 21-6, you know, feeling good about where we were. But, you know, week one, you've got to take care of the football. And we immediately started the second half off with letting them return a kickoff for a touchdown. And then next one, we kickoff return, we fumbled, so we gave him some possessions inside our own 10 a couple times as well.
And as a coach, I imagine special teams mistakes like that got to just frustrate you to no end.
Yeah, because we worked on them extensively this past week, you know, and just had a little breakdown here or there. Actually, we were in okay position on the kickoff with a couple missed tackles, which, you know, is a week one mistake as well, so. Well, we got some things to work on. We just got done watching film for the last hour and a half and talking about mistakes and what we got to do for getting ready for week two.
Diff, I know you guys, you got some new faces this year. You've had to deal with some injuries here early in the season. Just talk about a couple of the kids that were really the key contributors for you last night.
Well, everybody, it was a good team effort. I mean, because we faced some adversity in the second half and stuck with it. We started four sophomores on defense last night, and I thought they all performed well for the first varsity action. We started off the season losing a two-way starter for right now with Tom Azoli going down with a non-football injury. He got hurt at vocational school with a piece of metal falling on his leg. So I was just real happy with our whole team effort bouncing back from the turnovers, and Piasol got the momentum on us. We stuck with it.
Duffy, in all your years of coaching, I mean, injuries are part of football. Have you ever had a kid get hurt like that?
No. actually, I was at that school, and Mr. Stritzel came and got me and said, hey, you need to come here. Tom was always sitting in an ambulance over at Oakaw at Vandalia, and I was like, yeah, whatever, because he likes to mess with me, you know. So,
not at Hillsborough, that's shocking.
Yeah, no. So, and he goes, no, seriously. So I get on the phone, and 500-pound sheet of metal fell on his leg, and did some damage to his MCL. We're hoping to get him back in, you know, maybe a couple weeks. But yeah, I've never had a kid get hurt with a non-football injury like that.
Yeah, that is staggering. 500-pound. Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah, it was a sheet metal. Was leaning up against the fence, and something happened. Came down on him and caught him on his thigh, and it bent his leg in, and. He's moving around pretty good right now, but he's seen a doctor, and they're scheduling an MRI here pretty soon. We're hoping that he's going to be able to come back.
Man, hopefully so. So you're off to a 1-0 start here, Duffy. Always good. You got a road game next week at Staunton. Now, Staunton was blanked 50-0 by Pena, but I know this early in the year, week one scores can be really deceiving.
Yeah, it means nothing, you know, comparing scores, all that, you know, because you never know what can happen from week to week. You know, we got to shuffle a couple kids around because we also last night, our number two tight end, Mr. Aaron Sanford, came in, did a good job, and his kneecap got dislocated. So they popped it back in, but he'll be back for us, but probably not this week. So, you know, we got to do a little bit of shuffling of some things, you know, keep those young kids going. So those week one scores don't mean much.
Is this all Van Giesen's fault?
That's a good person to blame it on.
Duffy, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Congratulations on the win last night, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, oh, my goodness, that's a 500-pound piece of sheet metal?
Just keep his kids in a bubble when they're not on the field.
Holy cow.
Man.
500 pounds? And he'll be back in 2 weeks.
He'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That's Stewie-esque right there.
Wow.
That's awful. We wish Brad Tomazzoli a speedy recovery.
He's a multi-sport athlete, so I mean that's something that could have affected the rest of his playing career in all sports.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll continue with more following these messages.
18 minutes after 9 o'clock, WSMI Sports Saturday continues. Once again, Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, guys.
Thank you very much, Tito. We'll get back to high school football here in a moment. More area coaches on the way. Of course, Illinois fired their football coach, Tim Beckman, a week before the season starts, as they will kick off the season Friday night, and they will be playing Kent State. We'll have it for you live, I think, 7 o'clock on WSMI FM 106. And Beckman will not be on the sidelines, as he has been fired after that internal investigation into reports of player misconduct, forcing players to come back early from injury, threatening to pull their scholarships. These were the types of things that he was being accused of. And apparently the preliminary reports from the investigation that came back to Athletic Director Mike Thomas indicated that there was enough evidence there to suggest that what Beckman had been accused of was in fact true, to the extent that they were willing to fire the man a week before the season started. So 12-25 in his three seasons at Illinois. Of course, they were 6-7 last year and got into some sort of fraudulent bowl game.
4-20 in the Big Ten, which is probably even more, you know, staggering. Well, not staggering, but even more.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
So Illinois will have a new football coach. An interim has been named, and they'll be looking for the real guy throughout the year. Back to the high school gridiron we go, and joining us on the phone right now is Gabe Cesaretti, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins. And, Gabe, it was a rough one last night for you guys in Monticello.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a rough one for us. And, you know, we knew going in that that was going to be a tough battle for us. And, you know, we're really young this year, especially down on the line. And they're a good experienced team with a great coaching staff over there. So we knew going in it was going to be a rough one, but we're not disappointed this morning in the effort we gave last night. So we'll get a turnaround and be just fine.
Yeah, when you're young up front, that can really make for some tough sledding early in a season.
It can, yeah. I mean, we made plenty of mistakes last night on both sides of the ball. But we were happy to see that, you know, after watching film, that all the mistakes we made are fixable things, you know, tackling and blocking, things like that. So, like I said, our kids, you know, didn't quit last night, you know, gave me everything they had. So, you know, and that's probably going to be the toughest opponent on our schedule this year. So we're not disappointed. We're not down. Like I said, we'll get things turned around and be just fine, I think.
Coach, with as limited, I guess I would say, as a roster as you guys had, how did you come out health-wise?
We didn't do too bad last night. We had one kid, a big lineman for us, Ricky Crouch, hurt his knee. Hopefully, you know, he's here this morning with us and seems to be doing better. And we're hoping to, you know, with some luck, we'll get him back in a couple weeks, you know, hopefully. And because that's one thing we can't afford is lineman to go down for us. We don't have enough.
Week one will seem like a long time ago by the time we get to week nine of the season. And really the last few years, Gabe, you guys have been in a similar position where you haven't necessarily gotten off to the types of starts you would like during a year, but yet you've rebounded to make the playoffs in those seasons.
Sure, and a lot of these guys have been through it. Last year we started off 0-3, so, 0-1 is not a big deal to us, and, you know, of course you never want to lose, but we don't feel like it's a lack of effort or anything like that. If it was lack of effort, I'd be really worried, but, our kids played hard last night. Just against a really good team, which I think is going to give a lot of people fits this year. Our spirits are up. We're going to be fine. We're having fun watching film this morning, pointing out our mistakes. But it's all things we're going to get fixed.
Yeah, I don't care what week of the season it is. When you're down 45-0, it's just hard to keep the energy up. It's hard to, keep that intensity. So the fact that they're able to do that says a lot about the character of your kids.
It is. Our kids do have good character. We did get down, everybody kind of knew, like you said, once you get down 45, it's pretty much over. But like I said, our kids were still playing hard. We were loose. We didn't get down on them. They didn't get down on each other. So we finished strong. And like I said, I have no disappointments this morning other than we didn't get the win. But, I think we'll get things turned around and, like I said, these kids have been through this before, so it's nothing to them. They're going to be just fine.
And what you guys are doing this morning, it's the aspect of football that other high school sports don't really have. Saturday morning, you guys are in one room watching film.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. And we kind of enjoy that, too, because it's always fun to watch film, and we have fun, poking fun at each other and even coaches do stupid things on film that you can point out and then, say dumb things. We enjoy watching film with the kids and they enjoy watching it. We can have fun at the same time, point out the things that we need to fix and know how we can set up a practice this week to fix those things and we'll get it turned around.
Now, I never thought about that aspect of watching film, the players perhaps critiquing the coaches on the sideline. That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah. My coaching staff, myself, we don't claim to be perfect by no means.
Gabe, we always love talking to you, man. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Hey, we'll have you on the radio next week when you host Seneca. A little bit about Seneca before we let you go here.
Hey, always fun with you guys. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. Gabe sees already. Thank you so much. And that'll be an interesting game next week, Saturday afternoon,
yep.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
We'll have it here on FM 106.
Well, and again, I point out that Nokomis, being a 1A school, a small school, they're playing those bigger schools, those tougher competition. That's only going to get you ready for postseason.
Well, they did this intentionally, obviously, several years ago to beef up that schedule for the postseason. And it has worked because they have been on a nice run here of postseason football.
And now they are a 1A school for the football team for postseason. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, because their co-op is I think, gone. Over. Yeah. So they're just strictly a 1A school all the way. So.
As it should have always been.
Yeah. So it should be an interesting year for Gabe and the Skins.
I would think so. Yeah. They lost last night in a non-conference game 45-0 at Monticello. Other non-conference action last night, Trenton Westglen beat Mount Olive 42-8. Bunker Hill blanked Metro East Lutheran 28-0. In Metro, they've got the co-op
with Madison.
Right.
A public-private co-op.
How about that? Okay. Shelbyville got past Pawnee 20-14. Hamilton West Hancock over South Fork 36-12. Columbia blanked Wood River 49-0. Greenfield Northwestern defeated Jacksonville Route 38-6. Brown County, they downed Carrollton last night 26-14. Of course, Carrollton lost a lot off of that state runner-up team from a year ago. Calhoun over Triopia 34-28. North Green got past Beardstown 28-8. And West Central over Camp Point Central 20-0. But there was a lot of good football played last night in the opening week.
Oh, yeah. Really exciting and should make for a great season.
In the Sangamo Conference last night, Williamsville defeats Auburn 31-28 in what really has been the preeminent game in the Sangamo Conference
probably
for
the
a number
game
of years.
Of the night around the area. Auburn with a couple of chances to win it late, and credit Williamsville for stepping up when they need to. It started out as an offensive slugfest early on because they were scoring left and right. I had misquoted during one of your game breaks that they were in the second quarter. They were still in the first quarter when it was
30-20 something.
It was like 21-24, I think. And yeah,
But it's a high-scoring quarter.
Yeah, the defense ended up stepping up for both teams. So.
And, you know, that's not abnormal in the first half of week one to see perhaps the defense is a little bit behind, just kind of a natural thing. Remember Cromville, Roxana last year tied at 40 at the half before it settled down.
Yeah, and I think Auburn last year got shut out by Williamsville in the opening week.
Right.
The Sangamo Conference last year was all defensive conference between Williamsville, Auburn, and Athens. I mean, they combined for probably around maybe 15 shutouts. I mean, maybe that's a little much, but they had quite a few shutouts, and then you had New Berlin who had the offense last year. So really exciting conference for the Sangamo this season.
It's going to be another powerful season for the Sangamo. And it's a loaded conference, but it wouldn't be the first time that Auburn lost to Williamsville early and perhaps wound up with that being the only blemish on their record. Still a long way to go, a lot of tough competition still standing in front of the Auburn Trojans, but that would not be surprising.
Yeah, and if they should happen to face each other again in the postseason like they did last year, I mean, they could take away a lot from this game. Obviously, it being week one, they'll be a completely different team by week nine, let alone the postseason, so something to learn off of.
The other big score out of the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac picked up the win over New Berlin, 41-20, so Shane Owsley in his first night on the job, or first Friday night officially on the job on the sidelines, picks up a W.
Oh, yeah, huge. Obviously, projections don't mean anything, really, but especially to the head coaches. But I think North Mac was projected as the middle of the Sangamo Conference, and obviously getting off the 1-0 start is great, especially against a team in New Berlin who went pretty deep in the postseason last year.
I have no use for, early season projections whether it's high school, college, or pro, but especially high school. I mean, you just do not know year to year. I mean, it's all based on reputation.
Right.
Which is really no different than the college preseason polls, I guess.
Yeah, and obviously the college can be worse just because, the polls are everything at the end of the season. But for high school, you at least have playoffs to determine some kind of champion. Projections don't mean anything.
They mean nothing.
Especially to the coaches. You ask them that, and they're not paying attention.
No, not one bit.
Which I think Williamsville and Auburn both ranked to start the season in the state polls.
And, since
Athens as well. Athens was ranked in the top 10 as well.
And probably, Auburn lost, so they'll probably drop out of the poll. But who cares? I mean, they're one of the better teams in the state.
Yeah.
Around the area for sure. But, you just know, come week 10, first round of the playoffs, Auburn's going to be standing there, and they're going to look nasty and tough.
Well, Dave Bates has been to the semis, five times? I mean,
can't remember the exact number. He hasn't been able to get through that door yet.
That's no fluke. They're pretty good. They're a really good program. So, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen just by accident. I mean, he has built himself a big-time football program where just the next guy up.
Yeah,
year after year. Very impressive.
1 year to the semis, okay, you had a great year. Five times, that's no accident. You've got a program there.
Yeah, same with Greenville.
Right.
The type of consistent deep playoff runs don't just happen. You're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Greenville and Carlinville at South Central both got votes for the rankings, but they didn't get ranked, and that, of course, could change, and both of them could be ranked next week.
Carlinville's moving up.
Carlinville's moving up.
I don't care about rankings, but if Carlinville's not ranked in the top 10 of the poll, it's a sham, and there's no reason to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't know who's in charge of coming up with that poll, but yeah.
Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Auburn Trojans, Dave Bates. And, Dave, we were just talking about your ball game last night with Williamsville. A tough one for you guys, a 3-point loss. But like so many years, that is a big-time game to start your season.
Well, yeah. It's probably not the game that you would like to play with the caliber of the opponent. Week one, but I have to say I was kind of proud of our kids. I felt like we played well, and quite frankly, I haven't looked at the stats, but I think we had more yardage than Williamsville, but we just couldn't punch it in a couple times when we needed to, and I think we kind of had them on the ropes, but it is what it is. The good thing is, I think, from a week one game, honestly, other than maybe scoring there at the end, I don't know if we could have played a lot better. That was a pretty good week one game just coming out of the gates.
Coach, obviously it started out as a shootout, but the defenses for both teams really stepped up as the game went on.
Yeah, you know, I think from our perspective, we kind of were flying around a little bit instead of just kind of staying home. And Williamsville's explosive on offense. I mean, their quarterback and their running back, the Franklin kid and the McNally kid, are very, very good. When they get out in open field, they're really hard to stop. So I think once we kind of settled down and slowed down and let things kind of happen, we were much better on defense. I mean, they didn't score in the second half. So, you know, it's week one, so we'll be fine.
Dave, there's been a lot of years, of course, over your tenure where your offense gets a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. But so many times your defense in the biggest games that you guys play in a year make the plays for you.
Oh, no, there's no question. I mean, our defense is relatively young as far from an experience point. I mean, we only returned three guys that started on defense. We're going to get a lot better on defense. I mean, we have a big upside. But we just got to coach them up and, you know, let the chips fall.
Dave, what are you guys doing as a staff, if anything, really, to prepare these young kids? Because, I mean, they're not stepping into some also-ran program here. I mean, there's a level of expectation when you put on that Auburn jersey on a Friday night that you're going to win the ball game. What do you guys do to prepare these freshmen and sophomores for their moment?
Well, I think some of it is they're practicing against our starters. You know, I mean, same thing with Williamsville. You know, they went a whole, you know, 14 games, and so those guys got five extra games. We went to the quarterfinals last year. You know, we had kids that were on our scout team last year that are now starting, and I think that, you know, that competition kind of makes you better.
No doubt about it. As you look moving forward now to week two, you got Williamsville behind you. Where is the improvement for you guys moving forward?
Well, I think this team has a big upside. But in saying that, you know, we have another really tough opponent this week, and next week we have another tough opponent. I mean, we play Plains this coming week, and then we have Athens. And so, you know, we could play pretty well and be 0-3. So we've got to get a couple W's here, but I just think if we just keep plugging away, I've said this to our kids, and I've said it to a few people. I just feel pretty good about this bunch.
Is this as good as you've seen the San Gabriel Conference top to bottom?
Pretty tough, I tell you. It's pretty tough. You know, and next year we get Moroa too, right? And you've got to be ready to play each week. And our schedule is really stacked early. But overall, you know, I think all those teams are pretty good. I mean, they get good because of the competition they play each week.
No doubt about it. And when you guys get to the playoffs, it's not an accident. There's a lot of Sangamo teams standing at the end.
Well, we had three teams last year in the Sangamo, the quarterfinal teams, and one was in the state finals. So, you know, I think that's a tribute to our conference and coaches and players and everything.
Dave Bates, the head coach of the Auburn Trojans, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and good luck the rest of the way, sir.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. The Auburn Trojans 0-1, but a pretty impressive 0-1. But yeah, as Dave alluded to, as good as they are and always are with that schedule,
yeah.
I mean, 0-3, who knows?
Auburn Athens week 3 on FM 106. Yeah.
That's, I mean, that conference is just brutal. And it's going to get even harder next year.
Yeah, with Moroa coming in. Yeah. Oh, my.
Man.
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment. The southpaw Hutchinson. Little swing pass out to Simpson. Good blocking across the 45. Still on his feet. Midfield, he's loose. This is trouble inside the 30. Goodbye. Touchdown. Comets. New year. Same old Greenville. Pass of the game. Seaball has a man. Skinner caught. Middle of the field, foot race, 20, 10, 5, did it get into the end zone? Touchdown, Litchfield, wow!
He's going to get the direct snap, he's going to take the ball in to the end zone as Reynolds simply sliced off the left side, off tackle, turned, squared up, headed the end zone, and Reynolds comes up with a touchdown, which will give the Toppers the lead at the 7:06 mark.
Some of the sounds last night from week one of high school football across the WSMI listening area. And Litchfield had a third quarter lead on Greenville, 25-20 at the 5:54 mark.
Tell you what, their last two trips to Greenville, they've showed up.
Well, there, I tell you what, there was a lot of eerie similarities last night to that game 2 years ago. Litchfield was leading at the half 2 years ago. They trailed by a point last night. 2 years ago, their quarterback, Ryan Howard, got hurt on the first offensive sequence of the third quarter. And I'll be darned if last night, the first offensive play of the second half, the quarterback, David Seaball, gets tripped up and comes up with a lower leg injury. Had to be helped off the field. Had to be carried off by one of his linemen. He was in so much pain, could put no weight on the leg. To his credit, he somehow got back in the football game and was able to play the rest of the way. But it was just eerie.
Yeah, and that thought had crossed my mind back in the studio. As soon as they had they went in halftime, really, it was like, oh, boy, a couple years ago when they had this. The third quarter was not kind to them. Hopefully it's a lot better for them physically than it would. And it was. I mean, Seaball got hurt, but at least it doesn't look like he's going to miss any significant time.
In Litchfield, they just don't appear to have much depth.
Yeah.
They got eight kids to start both ways, offense and defense. And they had some cramping issues last night. Connor Simmons was dealing with it. Josh Frankie was dealing with it as well. So, I mean, they had, you know, a lot of different things working against them last night. But, boy, they were right there with them.
And obviously, Pat, he's still developing his program, but he's still got a lot of young kids who maybe in a couple games or so they'll get a lot more playing time as the season goes on. But, right now, just not a very deep team.
And, I mean, if you don't have depth, it's hard to have that truly successful year just because it becomes a pure numbers game. You know injuries are going to happen. It's just an unfortunate reality of the sport. Yeah. So when you go in thin, you know it's not going to get better as the season moves on.
And obviously you'd be able to speak to this more than I could because you saw it with your own eyes. It sounded like Seaball had a great game at quarterback. First-year starter quarterback. Last year was one of the receivers. Now he's the starting quarterback as a senior, so it sounded like he had a pretty good game for him.
He really did. He looked comfortable. They ran several option plays with Seaball that had a pretty good success rate, and he looked good throwing the football. They did not attempt a pass in the first half. Actually, in that highlight, the touchdown pass, that was the first pass of the game.
And that's something to look out for the rest of the season because he's got an arm. He throws a nice, tight spiral. And he's got some arm strength. That's just something that maybe as the season goes on, we'll see a little bit more of each game. And actually, talking to Coach Rince a couple weeks ago, last year, or in the past couple years, I believe, Pat had been calling the defensive plays and Andy Kassebaum had been calling the offensive plays. Well, I believe they flip-flopped for this year. Pat's now calling the offensive plays, and Kassebaum is now calling defense. And worked out for him last night.
Yeah, I would say so. Because, I mean, there were periods where the Litchfield defense completely stifled that Greenville offense. And Josh Frankie, of course, moved from Staunton to Litchfield. And he had a big impact last night. Had a huge interception early in that ballgame. Ran it all the way back down to the 3-yard line. Litchfield scored on the next play and got him within a point. So there really was a lot of positives for Litchfield to take out of that game last night. Nessus not really in it for the moral victory.
Right.
But when you're trying to build the program like Pat Rince is, you have to take things from games like that and move forward.
Right. Well, and how big of an addition is he in the situation where, like, Connor Simmons was out for a while? And Alec Louie is he's a really good back and all. He's just a different style of runner than Connor Simmons is, whereas Frankie is probably more similar to a type of runner that Connor is. You know, a powerful runner than Louis, more of a finesse guy. So when Connor was out for that stretch of time, you had Frankie who could fill in running the ball.
And they really did have a nice mix of kind of the speed and the power. They were getting outside with Zach Skinner, getting inside with Connor Simmons. So, I mean, they really did have a good offensive flow and mixture working last night. And as we said, they were up 25-20 midway through the third quarter. Then Greenville, though, just kind of slowly took the game over and ended up winning 39-25. And for Greenville, I just feel like there's so much anticipation and pressure on this squad this year. Just because of the level of success that they've had, it's almost like winning has become, they won.
Yeah.
But well, I wasn't thoroughly entertained.
They need to accept the fact that this is not going to be the team that they've had the last couple of years. Just because the number of athletes and the athletes that it could eventually get to that, but this season it's likely not going to be that just because of the amount of turnover that there's been.
We haven't seen, or I haven't seen, a football team like Greenville had the last 4 or 5 years, maybe ever around here. Yeah. I mean, for the consistency that they had with one group, of one class of kids through the 4 years like that, you just don't see it. So, I mean, the bar, and then you go back previously to when Aaron Duff was still there, his last few years, what he built up, and Todd Hutchinson took over. I mean, it's just been a staggering run for the Greenville Comets to where it's just become where you expect them to put up 40 or 50 points and win the ball game going away. Yeah.
And hopefully, and I imagine Todd is probably coaching him this way, but Ryan is not trying to be Tyler. And hopefully Ryan is just trying to be himself.
We looked like it last night. A lot more rollouts, you know, using his legs, making plays happen that way. And I guess it's a good problem to have when you've had that much success over the time like Greenville has, to where you actually can have a legitimate conversation. It's like, you know, they're really good, but boy, they're not nearly as good as they have been.
But isn't that the advantage of high school sports, where you have to reset things every once in a while? And I'm not necessarily resetting, you know, record-wise, but just resetting things and a different look. And, you know, that's just the glory of high school sports.
We always hear Chad Easterday talk about it with Carlinville. Yeah. We don't rebuild, we reload.
Yeah.
I just feel like the thing with Greenville just feels a little different to me, because it wasn't a mixture of sophomores, juniors, seniors. Mm-hmm. It was, for the most part, that one class of kids. You know, they were studs as sophomores, they were studs as juniors, and they were studs as seniors. And that, to me, is a rarity, which you don't really see all that often.
Well,
and they did it across the board in multiple sports.
And sometimes that's a generational thing. Maybe once in a generation you'll get that kind of group of kids that will stick together in all sports, and you'll have that, you know, huge amount of success at every level, at every sport. That's, again, about a generational, once a generation. Yeah. So it's just unusual.
It will be interesting to watch how Greenville season moves along, because everybody's coming for them.
Well, that's just it. Everybody's got Greenville's got the target on their back. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And at Carlinville, week 3, we'll have that game on the radio. A big-time matchup. Be a lot of fun. Yeah. We need to get to one more break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with Litchfield head coach Pat Rintz following these messages.
And WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on this Saturday morning. Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins, Terry Toden with you. Guys, I think one team you're going to have to watch out for, those Gillespie Miners under head coach Don DeBrino.
That sounds nice to say, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does.
Head coach Don DeBrino.
I tell you, we talked about Carlinville making a statement win. I think that Gillespie win was a bit of a statement win. Because you had Vandalia, who I believe they were returning 8 guys on both sides of the ball. And it was at Gillespie, and I mean, Gillespie handled him pretty well.
28-6.
Yeah. So I think they jumped out to either a 21-0 lead or a 28-0 lead. So, I mean, they pretty much controlled the game the whole night.
You were talking about Greenville a moment ago, about that class of kids, how they were good or great sophomore, junior, senior years. Gillespie was kind of dealing with that a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. They had that great group of seniors that really came together their senior year, had that great run to the state quarterfinals. Then last year, trying to replace all that talent, nothing broke their way. Right. Don't win a ball game. Now you kind of reset a year removed. You got Don DeBrino back, and you're off to a good start.
Oh, yeah, and they only graduated 3 seniors last year, so most of the team was coming back. And even though they were winless last year, they played a lot of close games, so they weren't your typical winless South Central Conference team.
Last night at Greenville, Litchfield gave the Comets a ball game. Greenville winds up winning 39-25, not before Litchfield had a lead 25-20 midway through that third quarter. Joining us on the phone right now is Pat Rintz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, Pat, when you guys took that lead midway through the third quarter, that was a pretty happy sideline across the field.
Absolutely. Good morning, guys. It feels nice to get back to action, and it's always fun when you're able to get out there and see your guys compete after a long summer preparation.
Yeah, when you're just kind of hitting each other there for a number of weeks, it's got to be nice to see a different colored jersey across the way.
It is, and when you know that team wearing the ugly jersey is going to be Greenville, you know that you got to get ready and you get yourself up to the challenge. And I was proud of the way that our boys responded, and of course fell down a little bit early, but they didn't give up and fought right back. And as you said, I mean, even you know, getting into the third quarter with a lead. That was some fun football.
And we've seen over the years, Pat, and it happened to you guys last year in week one against Greenville. You got down 21 points real quick in the first quarter, weren't able to respond. So you really had to like the growth that your club showed a year later. You get down 14 at Greenville, and you guys respond with 13 points.
You're absolutely right. You know, there are times that things don't go your way, and you hope, you know, one of the quotes we say with the guys, we don't lose, we learn. And, you know, that little dynamic that you just talked about from last season, you know, falling down 21-0 in the first minutes of the game and then, you know, weren't able to get ourselves back in, you know, that's been talked about a few times over the summer, you know, that, hey, that's not how we play, you know. And so, yeah, I was really proud of the boys that, you know, found ourselves down 14-0, and the next thing you know, we put together a nice long drive and marched down and scored, and then defense came up with a big play, and almost, you know, even quicker than they put up the 14, we answered back with two touchdowns, yeah. And we were off to the races then. So,
Coach, you've played Greenville about as well as anybody has in the conference the last few years. So, I mean, it's great to see that your kids have this mindset of we can play with anybody.
And that's really the message that that we preach pretty consistently throughout summer. You know, I think there's probably a temptation to say, well, I guess we'll go play Greenville and get that game out of the way. But, man, I tell the guys, what an opportunity to go play the top dog, see where you're at, and really, you know, make a statement of what kind of team we've got. And, I mean, that's what competition's all about. You know, you want to play the best, and you want to beat the best. And you want to beat them when they're at their best. You don't want to catch them on their off week or when a couple guys are hurt. You know, you want to beat the best. And I really felt like our guys were excited and ready to play and ready for the challenge. Not hoping that it would be easy. They were ready for the challenge. So.
And, Pat, I don't know about you, but I had a wicked case of, like, deja vu on that first play of the third quarter when C-ball went down. That was eerily familiar.
Yes, my heart stopped for a brief moment there, and yeah, I'm not going to lie, that one felt uncomfortable, but you know, we had so many guys going down with cramps, I think pretty quick we figured out that it was just a cramp, but yeah, I'm pretty sure the thought through my head was, you have got to be kidding me. This cannot be happening again. So,
and Pat, without giving away any of your secrets or anything or your game plans for the rest of the season, but it seemed like you didn't pass the ball a ton. However, I know David Seaball's got an arm and he can throw. Is that something that you're probably, as the season goes on, you'll maybe pass a little bit more and more, or are you probably going to stick with the same, you know, run and gun and or pound him kind of game plan?
Yeah, and that kind of depends on what you're going to see defensively, right, and how the game's going. You know, of course, we got, you know, in the latter portion of the game when we're down, of course, then we're going to start to open it up a little bit because we need to score points and we're fighting the clock. But we, you know, we've kind of set a tone that we want to run the ball and establish the run first and be physical and run the clock and move the chains and the philosophy there for us, you know, that will open up the pass. We don't want to pass just to pass. We want to set the tone with the run first. So, but you're absolutely right. It's not for a lack of skill on David's part that we want to run the ball. It's just more of a philosophy and what we feel puts us in the best position.
Pat, you guys got a nice transfer over the summer, Josh Franke, now going to Litchfield, and he made an immediate impact last night. That interception he made, that was such a big time play to fake the rush and drop back like he did, and then to return it down to the three. Goodness.
Yeah, that was quite a play, and what a momentum shift. You know, of course, the offense had just, you know, gutted out a long drive and scored. But we're still down by a score now, and then I think it was first play of the next drive. Mm-hmm. He's right at the line of scrimmage, and the ball is just thrown right above him. He jumps up and makes a great catch. You know, he's a big physical body and a good football player, but he's also got that skill set of now, you know, he's used to having the ball in his hands, and so that it didn't surprise us, you know, with what we've seen from him so far this summer in practice. And what a big-time play to start off your senior year at a new school even. So,
good way to endear yourself to new teammates, no doubt about it.
That's right.
Pat, as you look forward to next week now, home opener always exciting, and you got a Gillespie team coming in with a lot of confidence.
A lot of confidence, and already been watching film on those guys. I mean, they're fired up, and they should be. I mean, I think we all like it. I mean, that's why we're all here. We love football, and man, you're just watching those guys. They're flying around, and they're having fun, and they're fired up. And so, yeah, it's going to be a challenge, and we look forward to it, and we wouldn't expect anything less.
Pat Rince, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, thank you so much for a few minutes for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Pat Rince, and we will have Litchfield Gillespie on the radio next week live 6:30 with the Tailgate Show on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. That'll stream online as well. And then we've got the Fighting Illini on Friday night as they will be hosting Kent State. And appropriate to me that Illinois is kicking off the college season on a Friday.
Yeah. Just
high school quality
football.
Trying
to mess with us as well. Yeah.
Well, that too.
And then we do have a rare Saturday afternoon high school football game to broadcast too.
That's exactly right. Next day. Seneca traveling to Nokomis. We'll have that live 2 o'clock a week from today on FM 106. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of North Mac, Shane Owsley. Shane, thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. Much better this morning.
Absolutely. And I guess as a head coach, everything's a little brighter and tastes a little better after a win on Friday night. Good victory last night.
It was. Any time that you can beat a quality opponent like New Berlin, it makes things much, much easier when it comes to seeing the kids that early in the morning on Saturday.
Could you briefly tell us a little bit about yourself, since we're not that familiar with like your coaching philosophy or your experience coaching football?
Sure. Well, basically, I'm from La Harpe originally, so I got to play under Tim Lafferty in high school, and I got to help out. I attended Illinois College, and I got to help out on the staff there a little bit with some of their guys, and I've kind of bounced around a little bit. I was at Northwestern for 2 years, and I spent another 6 years as head coach at North Green, and last year, I actually got to move in as the Dean of Students at North Mac and served as an assistant coach under J.D. Lorton, and this is my first year as the head coach here.
And Shane, North Mac, since the consolidation of the co-op with Verdant and Girard, there's always been a nice collection of talent.
There has. I mean, individually, they were both pretty solid programs, and then when you put them together, it just increased the numbers, and that just gave us a few more kids to choose from.
As you look back at the game last night, a 41-20 victory over a quality New Berlin squad, what was it that you guys did well last night?
Well, I think the big thing is that we didn't drop our heads. We have kind of had a history where we get down a little bit, and once we do that, we kind of hang our heads a little bit. So that's something that we've been preaching all summer long. And, we got down 13-0, and at that point last year, I think we may have hung our heads and tucked it away. But we saw a little different effort in our kids. They just stepped it up. We were doing things the correct way. We were just hurting ourselves. We had some turnovers and some first-game jitters that hurt us. We just kind of stuck to our game plan. We're a run-first team, and I thought we executed that pretty well.
And I would imagine from your perspective, that's a very good sign as your first year as the head coach to see that change from how you reacted last year to getting down to how you reacted this year.
Oh, definitely. In the conference that we're in, there's quality opponents every single week. And we made it very, very clear to the kids that we don't expect perfection from them. We know everybody's going to make a mistake. And the big thing for us is that we can't let one mistake turn into three or four. And that's when points pile up on you, and that's where you get into deficits that you can't overcome. So we knew at some point, during the season we were going to be down. I was hoping it wasn't going to be the first quarter of the very first game, but that's kind of how it happened. And like I told the kids just a little while ago, we now know that we can go down, a score or two and still be fine. So as long as our kids, keep focused and realize that, that no game is ever over until that final siren go, I think we could have a successful season.
And, any win in high school football is obviously big, but any road win, those are a little bigger.
It is, definitely. They have a very, very good atmosphere over there. They had a lot of fans and the band and the whole deal. So it was a situation where, they had a lot of success last year, had a deep playoff run, and gave Williamsville, who was the 2A state runner-up, all they wanted in the playoffs. So we knew it was going to be a good game. They're, like I said, they're very well coached. They have an outstanding quarterback that played very, very well. So, like I said, I was very, very pleased with our effort.
You're home next week, home opener. There'll be a lot of excitement there. Pittsfield coming in, so kind of that river style, that's going to be a physical type of game.
That is. We've been watching them on film this morning already, and that was one thing that really, really stood out to us. You know, they've got some very big guys, but they also bring a very, very physical attitude to them. And we saw that last year when we played them. I know they didn't have the season that they wanted to last year, but it's going to be a situation where they're going to punch you in the mouth, and it's going to be a physical game. So the big thing is, again, we can't lose our heads. We have to stay calm and keep to the game plan. And like I said, hopefully we get the same result that we had last night.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of North Mac, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the season, sir.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right, a good victory for North Mac last night over New Berlin, 41-20. And remember, North Mac got off to such a great start in their school's history, really had a good run. Been down a little bit the last couple years, but the talent's there.
He sounds pretty excited to be their coach, too.
That's good. That is good. Yeah. Well, week one of high school football is in the books. We'll do it all again next Friday night, as we will have Gillespie traveling to Litchfield for you Friday night live. 7 o'clock kickoff tailgate show at 6:30 on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. We got Cardinal baseball on the radio this afternoon. They are out in San Francisco. We will have live coverage 2:10 today on WSMI AM 1540. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Cardinalville, and Greenville, the stations you can count on. For T-Tote, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. We'll talk to you next week.